welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. July is half over as of today. So we've been in, you know, another one of those hot streaks. So I'm kind of happy July's half over. July, I think, is the hottest month here in Colorado. August, it's kind of interesting about August because I remember as a kid, I always thought August was the hottest. Maybe because by that time we were bored and ready to go back to school after being off for a couple of months. But it doesn't seem to be that way anymore. And it hasn't been for a long time. And in fact, somewhere, and maybe it's because it's just kind of like the energy of kids going back to school in August, as opposed to September when I was a kid, that all of a sudden at some point during August, there's like a shift in the energy, a shift in the weather. And Grace and I go out walking early, early in the morning. And all of a sudden there's a crispness to the air and it just shifts. And then pretty soon the leaves start changing. But July has just been a firecracker all the way through. So, well, halfway through anyway. Anyway, that's my weather report. The other thing that I have to say, since I spent so much time, you know, talking to you and sharing with you about my garden and the beds and all the stuff that I put together and how exciting that was and what a great project that was, because I could just be in it, you know, and see things happen and have see a result of my efforts. Well, you know, I planted columbine root balls, and I did all my planting by May 20th because it's always wait till after Mother's Day around here. But I planted those, and I also planted seed mats. So that's just paper with seeds kind of woven into the paper, and the paper disintegrates. I followed all the instructions. I did everything I was supposed to do. And out of seven beds, well, four that were planted that way with the columbine and the seed mats, one. One of the beds, there are flowers from the seed mats coming up, but none of the columbine did. So, you know, in looking at like my wildflower bed, and on my YouTube channel, you can see a little short video of my wildflower bed that I planted last year. It went crazy last year, but this year I saw, and I'm still seeing things come up in that bed that never came up the first year. So what I'm feeling about the columbine is they're going to come up next spring. They're not coming up now. And, you know, I've also heard from other people that you plant root balls like you plant bulbs in the fall. Or maybe I should have planted them earlier in the spring, which wouldn't have been possible because I didn't have my beds together. So anyway, I'm just like, you know, that's how it is. That's how it is. And I'm going to stop taking it personally. But, you know, that's four out of seven of the beds that I put together. That's four. The other three, I just threw wildflower seeds in. Wildflowers for shade. And they popped up in less than a week. And they're still growing. I don't know if they will flower this year. But with wildflowers, I mean, that's a lot of, well, just think about it. Wildflowers grow, if you go to the mountains or into a meadow, wildflowers grow no matter what's going on. You know, they're drought resistant. They're, you know, the ones I buy are for shade because there's a lot of trees and stuff around my yard. So I never, you know, the spring, if you plant things in the spring, according to the sun coming in, it's going to change really quickly because the trees are going to leaf out and shade them. But I've got three of them in the shady part of my, I have a little patio off my office, and they were up, honestly, in less than a week. So a few weeks ago, as I'm looking at my other beds with nothing growing in them, I thought, well, and this was, what was it? It was Thursday. It was about a week and a half ago, Thursday before last. I just went, I'm going to go throw some of those wildflower seeds in. And you know what? In 3 days, they were coming up. I don't know how they'll do because I planted them in July, but there's something green in those beds. And so that makes me really happy. And I think from here on out, I'll wait to see what comes up next spring. Wildflowers and I get along. And that's what I'm going to do. And just stop trying to make things work that don't work. And stop taking it personally when they don't work, when I probably should have known in advance that they wouldn't. Anyway, that's just an update on my garden. But I think the little wildflowers, that's the thing about that I started to say, and I don't know if I made that point, they have a really strong will to live. You know, they really do. The other ones are like, eh, I don't think so. You know, eh. They're just too fragile. And they also, in those seed mats, they were all annuals. So I know that the wildflower seeds, not all of them, like the little poppies, don't come back. But man, I've got daisies that are, you know, 2 feet tall, these white daisies in my back that never came up last year. And they're just beautiful. So anyway, I'm going to stop with the gardening thing. That was just an update. I'm sure you needed to know that. But I just want to say thank you again for listening today. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I'd intended to live stream today on YouTube, but we ran into a bit of a glitch. So we just need to figure that one out, but it should be next week that I will be live streaming at the same time that I'm doing my radio show. So for today, 12radio.com, click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I'll answer them after the show through the chat room. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific, into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And if you schedule a call, I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. Reduced rates reminder, we have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12promotions. That just means you leave your email address, and then you're just notified. You get all the wonderful postcards that Mark does, and the email postcards are just terrific. The last thing is I have my Welcome Summer, Here Comes the Sun 15-minute time-based session available that will be available until fall rolls around. And this is like, you know, the whole purpose of the work that I do is releasing energy that's not benefiting you. That's the whole point. Because when that's out of the way, then the truth of who you are has more room to express as you and in your experience. So the purpose of this 15-minute session is to move energetic blocks that keep you from shining your light, from experiencing your good. And those energetic blocks are, you know, among many other things, a multitude of things, just limiting beliefs. You know, what you your self-concept, doubt, fear, unworthiness, whatever, they can all be removed and released because they're not true. That's error. Those are lies taking up space in your space. So when they're released, you can experience a greater expression of you, the truth of your being, which is God, source, life, all that is. So it's a great healing. And like I said, it will be available until fall comes, which is September 21st, around there. And also always remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. Post what you're grateful for. The advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours. You can post anonymously, so why not? Why not? It's a great way for us to support you. And I want to thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section of 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want for free. So take advantage. Again, 1-2 Radio is another way for us to support you. You know, staying inspired is the name of the game on a spiritual path. Actually, I think in life, period, spiritual path or not. But nobody's going to come inspire you. You know, nobody's going to knock on your door and bling you with a bunch of inspiration. That's not going to happen. That's our job. It's our job to keep our cork afloat. And 1-2 Radio is a great source for inspiration, information, and support. So again, I encourage you to please take advantage. I want to say thanks to Serena today for and every week for producing the show and for all that she does for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Silver Sun by David and Steve Gordon from the Nirvana Groove CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. Thank you for being here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. Today I have a big topic to talk about, and I knew it felt important to me because it kept tapping me on the shoulder, but I didn't realize how big it was until I started writing and exploring and, you know, pulling on my resources to put a show together. And it just kept expanding. So more than likely it's for more than just one show. We'll see how much we get through today. But the topic is being the beholder. But it's really about being the beholder is a power position. I mean, it is so... It's an incredibly important and expansive concept. Reverend Ike said, "I am beholding God in me as my answer in every moment." I use that every day, like all through the day, because it's incredibly powerful. The definition of behold means to look and see something of importance. So, thinking about that, because think about the word behold. You know, whenever, like in the Bible, or whenever my recollection of hearing someone say behold, it's like attention. You know, behold this. You know, behold this. Behold that. Behold this person. Behold this baby. You know, whatever it is, it's calling your attention. And in it is the sense or the feeling of positive anticipation. This is important. This is something not to be missed. And in thinking about that, it takes me back to, you know, how we demonstrate God. How we demonstrate God is through love, giving, and rest. You know, love and giving are kind of, they go together. You know, they blend together. And then you do what you know to do, right? You know what, you follow your intuition. You're a giving person, a loving person, a kind person, you know, whatever that is, how you give, how you love, there's no limit to the ways of doing that. You know, just a smile when you meet someone on the road, or a hello to a clerk at a counter, or someone you talk to on the phone, or, you know, support people on the phone. I always, you know, thank you. I appreciate your time. Even though that's their job, I appreciate your time. And it's just an acknowledgement of that person. You know, it's a validation. And when we validate others, what we're validating is God in them, which in turn validates God in us, right? You know, I exalt God in you, which exalts God in me, because you and I are the same thing. But the rest part of that, love, giving, and rest, is as important, because you do what you know to do, as I said a minute ago, through love, giving, whatever that is, work, living in integrity, being a big person, as Stuart Weil would say, being a big person. And then you rest, right? You do what you do, and then you rest, meaning you detach. You're not doing, scrambling, struggling. You're just resting. It's like, okay, this is good. I'm in this flow. I'm in this circle of life, in this circle of giving. Well, I feel that rest incorporates beholding. We behold from a detached, passive state. Beholding incorporates positive anticipation. We're seeing something special. We are witnessing God as that, capital THAT, which lives us. And finally, I feel that being the beholder implies surrender, because beholding is witnessing, not controlling. So Joel Goldsmith wrote in The Heart of Mysticism in a whole chapter called Beholder, I think is what it called. It's or Behold. I don't know. It's one of those. And I've been reading that. And that's what like really hit me about this. And that's always been something that, I don't know, that I found fascinating. And again, thinking about it, meditating on it, and letting it just kind of show itself and how much there is to the concept of the beholder, that, you know, it just, again, had to talk about it today. And I want to share what he wrote about it, or at least a bit of it. He wrote, "To live as a beholder, we must hold these two important principles always before us. One, God is infinite all. I and my Father are one, and all that the Father has is mine, and only that which emanates from the Father can and does manifest in and through me. Two, error is a universal belief, a world belief, always without presence or power or law to sustain it. In this wisdom, let us recognize all discords as universal belief. Let us wait on the Lord. Let us be beholders of God, guiding, maintaining, and sustaining its own, God fulfilling itself as individual being. Then we shall see him as he is. God appearing as the wholeness, the abundance, the harmony, the peace, and the joy of our experience." Isaiah 40, 30 and 31 says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is one of the innumerable passages throughout the Bible that reveal the importance of waiting on the Lord. And this is just what the Infinite Way teaches as learning to live the life of the beholder. This, of course, does not mean sitting idly by with folded hands. On the contrary, the more one waits on the Lord, the more one is the beholder of God working in him, through him, and as him, the more active he becomes. Each day we're faced with responsibilities and the need for decisions in regard to our households, business, communities, and nation. And each day we must learn to wait on the Lord to become a beholder in order that the decisions may be God's. We must learn not to place reliance on human judgment or opinion, and always be alert to avoid being swayed by outside influences. Let us learn to make all decisions in the light of the disciples' prayer, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." This should be our attitude, not merely when choosing or electing a leader, but in handling every detail of our lives. It applies when we make a purchase, when deciding whether or not to make a change or move of any kind. Humanly, we've been taught to rely on our best judgment, to consider all sides of a situation, and to decide on the basis of evidence what we think is the best course of action to pursue. Whereas, in spiritual living, we do not depend upon our correct evaluation of human situations. No matter how good our judgment may seem, we turn from it to the Father. "Father, show me the way, show me the next step, and when and how to take it." With patience and practice, we develop the consciousness of a beholder, of waiting on the Lord, and this leads us to a miraculous discovery in which we know not only that there is a God, but that it has become the governing factor in our life. It has taken over our experience. How often we've prevented the activity and operation of God in our affairs by not waiting, by not being a beholder, by not standing, as it were, a little to one side of ourselves until we feel the Father taking over. As we develop our spiritual consciousness, we find that there's a presence that goes before us to make the crooked places straight. When we make a human decision, Very often we find insurmountable obstacles in the way. But when God makes the decision, His presence goes before us and every obstacle is removed. Everything necessary to facilitate the undertaking is provided. Let's make a daily practice of being a beholder. And this is an affirmation that I use every single morning when I wake up. Father, this is your day, the day that you've made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Reveal to me the work of this day. Show me your decisions and let your will alone be the motivating and activating principle in my life. This is surrender. I don't know. I don't know what the day holds. I don't know how to take care of me personally speaking. I don't know how to take care of my clients. I don't know how to do any. I don't know, but you do. I just give it all away. Surrender all power, control, and responsibility to that which lives in me, the infinite God mind. And I really don't believe we can be a beholder unless we surrender. I really don't. I think that's a key in it. And also, I think that's what, by surrendering, I don't know, because we don't know, you know, humanly, we don't know. We don't know. We know what we have experienced, but there are new things coming at us in every moment. We don't know what they are. So anyway, to me, surrender is the path of least resistance and also the path that leads to an open door for miracles and expansion and joy. In The Art of Meditation, Joel Goldsmith wrote, "He performs that which is given me to do. And therefore, the activity of the body is performed by that He that is within us. We do not have to take thought about it. He performs it. He perfects that which concerns us. Let us be beholders of God, appearing as our health, our wealth, our strength, and our life." We don't go to sleep at night and concentrate on keeping our hearts beating, you know? We don't. We don't grow our hair. We don't grow our nails. We don't. All the things, all the functions of our body that are on autopilot the autopilot is that which lives us, the infinite God mind, consciousness. It is a part of us. We're using it every day, but we don't think about that. But it's the same thing. When we surrender and turn things over, we become the beholder of it as we are the beholders of our hair growing, you know, or our whatever it is, you know, our lungs inflating and the, you know, God being, you know, our lungs that inflate the air that we breathe and the ability to breathe it. That's all God. God is. There's nothing and no one outside of God's grace. God fills all space. So I interrupted Joel's thing there. As he said, let us be beholders of God appearing as our health, our wealth, our strength, and our life. So it is with every phase of our human experience. If there's a sense of rightness about life, if the right words are spoken at the right time, if the right acts are performed at the right time, if harmony prevails in our experience, then we feel, we see, we recognize that every phase of that experience is a direct result of the activity of the Christ or the infinite self. We do not do it. We do not take thought. It, the infinite self, the Christ, does it all, even before we have any awareness of what's transpiring. It, the infinite self, is the activity of the body, of the purse, of our relationships with one another. The presence goes before us to make the crooked places straight and to prepare a place for us. The presence does everything for us, and we live on this plane of existence as witnesses and beholders. So, being the beholder, to me, is the same as being in flow, or it's a part of being in flow. or maybe being in flow is a part of being the beholder. They're just the same thing. Excuse me. If we turn everything over to the infinite self, our day, our work, our interactions with others, our traveling to and from wherever we have to go, what we eat, what we wear, our bodies, everything we know we have, everything we know that we have to do, that everything, just everything, everything that we know that we have to do, or even the things that we don't know that we have to do. I don't know. I don't know what's going to unfold in this day. I don't know what you do. I give it to you. If we surrender it all to infinite intelligence, the day flows magically. And instead of being tired at the end of the day, we're energized. And if we're not energized, we're at least at peace because we have nothing replaying in our heads. You know, and this is a big thing that I don't think anybody could do all the time. But if we're conscious of it, you know, if we're not struggling against anything, if we can just have what shows up as it shows up, not that we necessarily like it, not that it's necessarily comfortable, but if we choose not to push against it, and again, just sacrifice it, as Ram Dass would say, just sacrifice it to the void, to Brahman, every thought, every emotion, just sacrifice it, give it away, everything, it, to include our joys and happiness and victories, you know, along with our suffering. Everything. We sacrifice it to all that is, the Brahman, the Father, the Tao, because everything that comes into our experience and that we do is God anyway. I mean, it just is. Everything. Everything. So, you know, by being the beholder, the witness, we are at peace because we've not pushed against anything. So we have no arguments replaying in our heads. We've not struggled against anything. So we can just, at the end of the day, go to bed in peace and just turn whatever our nighttime work is, whatever we're going to do on the astral, turn that over as well. And just surrender all of it, all of it. Personally speaking, I feel in my experience, and I notice it more and more and more, when I turn everything over, it's as if everything that I have to do has its own place, its own particular space, and its own time to be done. And I know intuitively what to do next throughout the day. You know, I work online. I'm available for calls from my clients from later morning into the evening every day. But if during that time, and that time is set, so it's works out to be around 7 hours every day. Saturdays are flexible. Tuesdays are different, are less than that because of the show and getting on later. But that's really the block of time. When I sign on, I'm on. Unless I have to run and pick up Grace from the groomer or have some odd appointment. That's how it is. So, but sometimes in there, I'll get a request for an email reading, which means I do a recording that I send to my clients via email. And if that's the case, I get the tap on the shoulder when to do it. And the phones are quiet until I finish that recording. And it works. I notice it like every day, and it makes me laugh because I'll finish it up, I'll get it sent off, and the phone rings. Or if I'm writing, you know, and I'm, you know, trying to finish a train of thought, you know, if not the whole thing, just I'm in a train of thought. I'm in a groove, so to speak. Everything's quiet until I finish, and then the phone rings. And it's really funny I mean, not, it's amusing. Let me put it that way. It's not funny. It's amusing because I'm just being taken care of. It's like, oh, wait, she's in a meeting. Oh, she's available now. Phone rings. It's just great. But it happens all the time because I turn everything over first thing in the morning and just follow my intuition throughout the day. That's the other thing, too. When we surrender everything, we, and when we decide to be the beholder, we really do turn our focus inward because we're still being guided. And the thing is that, it, like Joel said, it doesn't mean we sit on our hands. You know, when we decide to be the beholder and let God govern our lives, that's not it at all. We are the instruments through which whatever we need to do, whatever we're called on to do, whatever shows up, happens. So this is not, it's not lazy. It's just not struggle. You know, it's just being that clear instrument of the Father's appearing. That's what it is. So as I said, when I turn everything over the first thing in the morning, I just follow my intuition throughout the day. And that flow is absolutely priceless. And if during the day that flow is interrupted, meaning all of a sudden I'm pushing against something, or something comes up and I'm not sure, you know, what to do, or, you know, just resistance, stuff comes up. This is an experience, you know, we're in a human incarnation. So stuff comes up. And when I feel that sense of stress or strain or tightness in my back, then it's like, okay, I got to take a step back and let this go and get back into that being the beholder, sacrificing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this hit me this way and gave me a stomachache. You know, I don't know why. I don't know. But if I sit and pay a bunch of attention to the stomachache or to the thing that I'm resisting, then number one, it expands in my experience. And number two, I am totally out of my peace, you know, just totally out of it. So, you know, we are, our bodies, our feelings are instant biofeedback. You know, something comes up. Okay, I can have that. Do I deal with it now or do I deal with it later? And then you know, which you do, just by following your feelings, your intuition. But anyway, it's just a really cool way to live because it really is the path of least resistance. Turn it all over. Show me what to do and I'll do it. And in talking about that, in thinking about that, Florence Scovel Shinn, something that Florence Scovel Shinn said, and I absolutely love, and I think of it often, especially when something comes up and I go, ugh, you know, uh-oh, I'm getting anxious, you know, something's making me anxious, which of course is struggle. And back to, what do I believe about this? Why is this doing it? Take a look at it. Look it in the eye. Most of the time when you get to that point, it'll go away. You'll know what to do. But Florence Scovel Shinn said, divine ideas never conflict. And when we surrender everything to the infinite self, then everything becomes a divine idea. And everything is done in divine order. And, you know, when things come up that throw you off your game, as I was just talking about, surrender. Give it away. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know when to deal with this. I give it to you. Who knows? That which lives me. But that was a really cool realization. You know, divine ideas never conflict. And when we surrender everything to the infinite self, when we decide to be the beholder, the witness, everything becomes a divine idea, and everything is done in divine order. Really like that. That hit me like a ton of brick. I really liked it. So, you know, back to Reverend Ike. I am beholding God in me as my answer in every moment. That's just a great affirmation to just have in the back of your head, you know, in the back of your consciousness, just floating through there. You know, as a person, I have a list of things to do. I do that every morning. But as a person, humanly speaking, human consciousness wise, I don't know how to do them, because the action of doing them is my divinity. And that which lives me, the infinite self, does know how to do them. So again, as I've said a million times already, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for everything to capital everything, the infinite God mind that meets every demand. And I go free to follow as I'm guided. And that makes for magical and productive days. But this is not only about getting things done, but it's kind of like when you make that your method of operation, you know, just turning things over, just being the instrument, like consciously being the instrument through which spirit flows, source flows, whatever your word is, universe, the Tao, whatever it is, then you kind of get into a place where it's not just what's on your to-do list that flows effortlessly, but life and other things do as well. And it's like there are perks, so to speak, that you wouldn't think of for doing this, for just depending, you know, relinquishing all dependence on man whose breath is in his nostrils in this world of effects, just relinquishing all of that or detaching from that, depending on anyone or anything, to include your body, your mind, your emotions, right? Because those are not you. They belong to you. But just totally depending on being cared for. God, the governing, maintaining, sustaining, and discerning principle of each and every one of us, that which lives us. We are the vehicle. We are vehicles. And so getting back to I like this idea of perks. That's a funny word that just came into my head. But here's a couple of examples. And they may sound silly, but they're really examples to me and made themselves known as such. So first one is, this summer, you know, instead of using my sprinkler system, I've been watering my yard with the hose and a couple of sprinklers. And I've really enjoyed it because it's become I don't want to say ritual, but it's become a commitment. You know, it's something that I have to do, that I have to pay attention to. So I get up really early. Like I'll get up around 5:30 and start the hose in the front yard. And because really and truly, I'm not supposed to water after 10 o'clock, and especially since it's in the 80s at 10 o'clock. So I've just kind of made a commitment to doing that. And I really do enjoy it. So I have these two different sprinklers that I use. One sits flat on the ground and it's just a whirly thing. You know, it goes in a circle. But I really liked it because I could put it in my front yard, and my front yard is odd. It's the grass part of it. It's a organic shape because of the beds. And I have a big maple tree in my front yard. So one sprinkler isn't going to hit the beds on the other side of the maple tree. So there's, you know, I had to move the sprinkler a few times. But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm thinking, wow, you know, I turn this thing on, I turn it up, and it pretty much covers the beds for the most part and the lawn. And then I noticed that part of my lawn was looking really dry. So, you know, even though the sprinkler was appeared to be hitting everything, apparently it wasn't, or not well enough, not thoroughly enough. So it just kind of got this tap on my shoulder to change. And again, I know this probably sounds really silly, but to take my tripod sprinkler, which is the one I use on the backyard, because that thing, I mean, I move it like 3 times, boom, 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 and the backyard is done. Because it is more, you know, it's beds that line the grass on either side. So it hits, and it is a much denser spray of water. But I didn't use it in the front because the front is so oddly shaped or irregularly shaped. So anyway, I just got this tap on the shoulder to try the tripod, to use it, to just mess around with it, because you can control everything. You know, the width, the how much spray, how far it goes, how high it goes, how low. I mean, it's just a brilliant thing. It's probably the best sprinkler I've ever had. So I used it in the front, and it turns out that it covers more ground with a denser spray, and I didn't have to move it, which cut my watering time down. So the grass got watered better. It cut my watering time down. And I ended up, after I took it, you know, after I was moving it into the backyard, I just used the hose and a hand sprayer and went on the other side of the maple tree and hit just this little area of the bed that got missed because of the tree. But what was so funny about that is that was like the most exciting thing when that happened. And I just had to laugh, you know, that was a kiss on the cheek from God. Look, try this. It works better. Yes, it does. And it covered, I mean, it just covered the whole front yard, again, with the exception of that tiny little patch. So, you know, that's just an example of being taken care of. Just being taken care of. And also, you know, using your intuition all the time, listening. Everything that comes into my experience, it's like, yes, no, you know, I always double check, you know, what do I do first? And get my instructions, so to speak. And here's another example. And again, probably a silly one. But I take a supplement, a vitamin D3 and K2 supplement. And yesterday, I noticed that I have about a week's worth left and I need to get them ordered. I get them from Amazon. I need to order them in the next couple of days. So yesterday on Woot, they had the same supplement, 42% off. And instead of 120 of these little capsules, it was 300 capsules. And it ended up being about $5 more than what I would pay for the 120. And again, this is a perk, you know, this is one of the perks of just absolutely relying on source, depending on source, and resting, you know, just resting in that care and that love and that absolute steadfastness that spirit is. And, you know, like I said, those two examples may sound silly, but they aren't. In both, I was beholding, as they occurred, I was beholding God in me as my answer. And that happens all the time. You know, nothing really and truly belongs to us, because everything is God and everything is a demonstration of God. So what is demonstrated and what's in our experience, we are the stewards of, right? We are stewards of what we have been given. Our bodies, our homes, our yards, our jobs, animals, even our relationships. We are responsible for them, or our part in them. So how much sense does it make to turn all of them over to the infinite self and follow as we're guided to be the best stewards possible? You know, the master said, to him who has, more shall be given. To him who has not, even the little he has shall be taken away. Paraphrasing that verse, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Appreciate it. Notice the good, and it expands. Take it for granted, and it goes away. Just like talent or ability, practice expands it. But if you don't use your talent or your ability, it weakens. It dissipates. Because you are not giving it your attention. Attention feeds what it is focused on. That's our superpower. Our superpower is our attention, our awareness, because that grows. Who said it? I think it was Chopra. Attention is love. No matter what it's focused on, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, something you're celebrating, something you're enjoying, something, you know, the use of your talent or ability, or worry, you know, whatever it is, you're loving that thing, whether you want it in your experience or not. And that attention grows. So if you take your attention away from anything, it dissipates. So it's really an interesting thing to just think about that. You know, what we need to feed, what we need to honor, pay attention to, which is pretty much everything that we've been given. Pay attention to it, yes. Worry about it, take care of it. In a way, yes, we take care of it because we maintain it. But the responsibility for it is God's. You know, whatever talent or ability we have, that's not human. That's our divinity. So if there's something we've neglected, we can always go back and just give it that love and attention. You know, to him who has, more shall be given. So all it takes is attention. And that might have sounded like a little bit of an aside, but this segment on the beholder will be continued next week, because I've got more. And next week I want to talk, I'm going to share from Dr. Irvin Seal. So anyway, everyone, thank you for being with me today. It's been my blessing to do this show. As you can tell, I'm kind of wound up. I wish you a very, very blessed week. You've been listening to Empowerment. My name is Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Thanks again for joining me today. Have a very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.